Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the Christmas Eve Vigil Mass, and the readings are from Cycle A.
I mentioned as Mass began tonight to be careful not to let yourself become an audience. Audiences passively observe what someone else has done, someone else's talent or artistry, and then decide whether they either like it or they don't. It doesn't take very much effort to be an audience. In fact, you've already accomplished about all you need to do, which is to get into the room and sit down. Look forward, listen. Even that you can do kind of half-heartedly. And now there's the preaching. And if you're an audience, you can at least listen enough to know whether you like what I say or not. Be careful on the way out not to say to me, "Good homily, Father." If you do, you know what I'm going to say to you? What was good about it? What did you hear that will stay with you? Now, if you do think it's a good homily, you're invited to tell me so after Mass. But just be ready, because I'm going to ask you, what was good about it? What did you hear that might stay with you? I have the benefit of living in I'm a Dominican, and we Dominicans live in a brotherhood. And it happens that in our particular local house in Menlo Park, six of us live together. One of the things that we commit to when we first join the order and decide to stay is to commit to lifelong study. So when you live in a community like the one I do, even over breakfast or in odd moments of time in the course of a day, somebody might share with you something that they just learned or something that they're reading. And of course, this is an academic arena that we're in. In order to be any good at learning, you have to kind of have a bit of humility that maybe you don't know everything. Maybe something that you read shakes you up and makes you think a thought that challenges what you already thought was true, and maybe it has to give way so that you can now embrace a deeper truth. Learn something new. Father Xavier threw out a little offhand comment. You know which one? Something that you were reading? Something about a manger? I don't even know. I can't quote the author that he was reading, because he was the one reading it, not me. Said, this particular gospel tonight mentions manger three times in a fairly short little story. And when that happens, in the word craft, the storytelling craft, that tells you that that's a very important idea to the writer. It's a clue. Pay very attention, close attention to this particular reference. The writer could have just said they put the baby down. The baby went to sleep. The baby was in her lap. But no, manger, manger, manger. This particular author that Father Xavier was referencing said, no, there's another place in the scriptures where manger comes into play, and it's in the book of Isaiah. The Bible has lots of books in it. Isaiah is one of the very biggest, fattest ones. It's easy to find when you're just flipping through because it's long. And right at the very beginning of it, the very first chapter, second verse of it, this is what it says, that God is going to be speaking through this prophet. And this is the first thing out of God's mouth, or through the mouth of the prophet. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, listen up, because the Lord has something to say. Sons have I raised and reared, but they've disowned me. An ox knows its owner, and an ass knows its master's manger. But Israel doesn't know. My people haven't understood. Essentially, God is saying, you don't get me. Or, we've misunderstood one another. That can be the beginning of saying, could we talk? That's why I challenged you at the beginning of the Mass not to simply be a passive audience, but to think of those doors in your mind and your heart and your ears. And do you dare open them as wide as you can and say, I'm open to a new thought. I'm open to a new moment. Even if it cost me something, even if it meant taking a risk, I'm open to try something new. I'm open to the possibility of being something different than I've been so far. Even if it shocks the people around me. Since last Christmas, something extraordinary has happened. It was in all the papers. Maybe you heard about it. An elderly man, very ill-disposed towards change and novelty of any kind, who happened to be in charge of the Roman Catholic Church, shocked us all by just saying, I think it's time for me to step aside. I trust him to be a prayerful man, a man of God, and I don't think that kind of thought simply originated inside of him without help. I'd like to think that the Holy Spirit prompted that soul searching to make such a momentous decision, one that hadn't been made in 600 years, to simply say, I think for the good of everyone, I need to step aside. John the Baptist did something like that in his own time, right at the peak of his powers. The crowds had never been bigger. When, you know that story? Jesus walks into the picture, and John, in the middle of a rant, he's screaming about the judgment that is to come, and you better clean up your act. And Jesus walks into the scene. You know how it is in stories. Jesus is a baby tonight, but you know, tomorrow he's all grown up. Jesus just walks into the scene, and he hasn't even had a line yet. If you're playing the Jesus part, you haven't said anything. All you did was kind of walk in, maybe not even to the middle of the stage, maybe kind of on one edge. And John the Baptist simply says, look, look. There's God's Lamb. There's God's Lamb. The Lamb for the Jewish people, like for us, the Christmas tree becomes the center of our home celebration of the holiday. At the Passover, the Lamb was the center of the celebration. And they were very fussy about the Lamb. When you went to pick out a tree, did you just pick out the first one you saw? Who does that? Don't you weave in and out of the trees and size it up and see if the trunk is straight and does it look full and are going to have to turn that part to the wall? Maybe you quarrel with one another about whether to get this one or that one. No, you fuss over it. John the Baptist points at Jesus and says, that one, that one. This is God's choice. That one. Follow him. Well, this other guy comes onto the scene, and we don't know him very well. We hear that he's from Argentina, and that's kind of exciting because we haven't done that before. We've never had anyone from below that imaginary line that goes around the middle of the ball. There's this guy from a brand new place. We've never picked one from there before. Were you watching TV when he came, or maybe watching the internet when he came out onto the balcony? And that poor servant tried to put an ermine stole around him? I'm told that the guy said, you have to wear this, Holy Father. And he said, you wear it. You wear it. He didn't have to say, I'm in charge around here. He just said, you wear it. And before we knew it, we're off to the races. He's washing the feet of Muslim women on Holy Thursday and driving somebody's used car and paying his hotel, all that stuff. I was reading the other day, you know what no less a source than Stephen Colbert has to say about Pope Francis? Stephen Colbert calls himself the second best known Catholic in the world. I believe he's infallible, but he's getting a lot of things wrong. Well, because he's doing things differently, and you start being different, and people will start saying, what's come over you? Don't you get it? If I challenge you to try to be a different version of yourself, get ready for that. There are going to be people around you that got used to being the way you always are. You go changing on them, and you're going to shake things up, and somebody's not going to like it. But if it's changed for the better, a lot of us will. Think about it. Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth, the entire universe. You know the other word for universe? Catholic. It means universe, universal. The maker of the entire universe decides, I want to be with you guys. Because, like I said at the beginning of Isaiah, you don't get me. We've had a misunderstanding. Could we start over? Is there anybody in your life for whom that's true? Is there anyone with whom you've had a misunderstanding? Might it be possible to say, could we start over? It would certainly take humility to even try that. And then you'd have to be ready for the fact that it might not work, because not everything does. Humility, that's kind of isn't that the word that people are attaching to Pope Francis kind of more than anything else? You know, picking up the phone and telling some atheist reporter that you'd like to talk with him. Francis calls himself a sinner. Well, what's such a big deal about that? I grew up in Texas, and every church leader in Texas calls him or herself a sinner. It's church word, sin, grace. What's the big deal about that? Except when this man says it, there just seems to be that kind of simple grace, that truth, that you recognize, because it just doesn't have any artifice. There's nothing fake about it. He simply says, I'm a sinner. That's an archery metaphor. Did you know that? The word sin means to miss the mark, like you were aiming, but your aim wasn't very good, and you missed. You were really trying to do something good, because every kind of sin has some apparent good attached to it, or we wouldn't even do it at all. It sounded like a good idea at the time. Had I known then what I know now, I wouldn't have done that. Pope Francis can simply say, I know who I am, and he's, 76 years old? He can say with authority, I know who I am, and I know what I am. I'm a person who tries and who misses the mark. But thanks be to God, he keeps trying. And I think he's being what he was called to be, a leader. Not somebody like Caesar Augustus, who can say, now hear this, everybody up, you over there, I need to keep count of all of you. Augustus was called the Caesar of peace. He was sometimes called Prince of Peace, because at the time that he was in charge of Rome, they'd beaten everybody there was to beat. Their armies had already defeated everybody. So yes, there was peace. The peace of domination. The peace of nobody daring to take you on, because everybody that's tried it is lost. The peace of Augustus wants to call everybody together and count so that we can do a better job of taxation now that we've conquered everybody. And then on the other end of this story, here's Caesar Augustus at the microphone, and then there's this little kid. Can't do anything but cry. A newborn. Poor. Nobody knows his name and even his parentage. There's something going on. The parents aren't married. They don't even have a place to stay. And he has to They have to put him down in the manger. Our God, manger. Where did I hear that before? Manger. Oh yeah, Isaiah. Even an ox knows its master's manger, but you don't know me. Except maybe I can do something about that. Maybe I can come to you. And maybe I can take the chance that you won't reject me. Maybe you and I can open our hearts toward one another, and maybe something new can happen. That's the part I mean about not being an audience. Because you're invited to be way more than that. You're way too important to God to be somebody that just sits by and watches, observes life, and observes the world. You were put here for a great deal more than that. Even if you think you've been a major mess, if you think you're a bigger sinner than everybody else, well, so what? So's the Pope. So's the Pope. Join the club. You've at least come here tonight. Have you ever used that phrase or heard somebody say, well, I don't need to go to church, it's just full of hypocrites? Do you know that line? Those of us who are here fairly often will say, it's not always full. We'll move over. We'll make room for you. We'll all scoot over. One more hypocrite will fit. And maybe together we can become something better than that. Because God, the crafter, the craftsperson, the artist who made the universe, is remaking me and remaking you. As long as we don't think that we're perfect already, or that we have to at least pretend we are so that everyone around us will think we're something hot. If we can put down all that pretense and simply be simple, be humble, which just means soil, humus, humble, just means I'm made from the earth. That's all. Tonight in a little bit, we'll be taking really simple stuff, a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine, and we simply ask the Holy Spirit, would you come and be in this? Would you transform it? Because we believe that that's what you do. We think that you formed us to begin with, and you can transform us again. You can make us into the best thing that we can be. And would you use this simple little device to do it? Would you make this become you so that you won't be outside me and me outside you? Because love never wants that. Love always wants to be at one with the beloved in all the ways that love can be expressed. Love always involves an overlap, a blending of you and the beloved. Would you come and be this stuff so that we can receive you into us and you can become a part of us? And then, oh please, would you send us out into the world and help us see the opportunities that are out there for us to transform the world. You've heard the prayer of Pope Francis saying, oh, how I want a church for the poor. Not a church that just looks in and tends to its own business all the time and quarrels with itself. But one who puts all that aside because there's just too much work to do and too many people that need help. Could you be a part of that? Before Mass began tonight, Teresa, who directs the choir, extended to you an invitation. If there's a conversation that needs to take place between you and somebody else, maybe there's somebody on the staff of the Catholic community at Stanford that could be that somebody else. Or maybe a member who's here on a regular basis. If that's the case, man, that's what I wake up for. That's what I love to do. Help people to figure themselves out and find their place, find their highest purpose. And if there's something that we need to get over, if there's been a misunderstanding or an offense, maybe one of us can be the face that says, would you forgive me? Would you forgive us? In any event, as we move from this liturgy of the word now into liturgy of the Eucharist, again, stay attuned. Know that the important stuff isn't all just happening up here, because in a moment you're going to be invited up to receive. If you're a Catholic communicant, you know what to do already. You open your mouth, you receive the body and blood of the Lord into you. If you're not, the Lord will not only recognize an open mouth, but an open heart. If you're not a Catholic communicant, here's what you do. You just make a cross, the sign of God's love, and put it over your heart. My mom taught me as a little boy, X marks the spot. That's the place where God wants to live Make an X with your arms, put it over your heart, come forward when all the Catholics do, and you won't be left out. We'll ask a blessing upon you that can go right into the middle of you, where God wants to dwell. I'm grateful that you've chosen on Christmas Eve, midnight, to spend this time with us, and I hope that God surprises you and even challenges you to be transformed just as he was, from Almighty God and Almighty everything into a brand new being, a tiny baby, ready to start over.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.